Chapter 65. The waiting had been excruciating. Charlie's nerves were on fire with anticipation when he finally entered the floor of the arena to find himself greeted by the yells of thousands of spectators, all cheering for the pending battle. It was one hell of a rush. "Looks like they're jazzed about the fight," he noted. "And speaking of which, where is my..." A tingling on the back of his neck made him dive immediately to his left, the studded club whiffing through the space he'd just occupied. "Sneaky bastard," he growled through clenched teeth. Sir Barud was right about that, at least. "Hazukar, Muraxiapuna, Ephian," the man shouted, his slop throwing a trio of spells at him back to back to back. Charlie had no idea what those spells did, so he launched the most broad-reaching counter he knew as he rolled clear of the path of whatever the burly gladiator was hurling at him. His counterspell, thrown in haste, was nevertheless many times stronger than ever, thanks, he realized, to his new conus. The attack spells dissolved, barely, but that did nothing to stop the steam-trained physical assault of the much larger man. He landed a kick square in Charlie's chest, sending him flying backward onto the ground. Charlie rolled back to his feet, using the momentum of the impact. Surprisingly, he realized he remained unharmed. The training worked. "He combined physical and magical attacks," he noted. "So he's not just a brute. Going to have to be creative here." Charlie charged the larger man, throwing the limited spells at his disposal as fast as he could manage. His opponent canceled them out, his slop swatting them aside as easily as a grown dog toyed with a pup. Changing it up, he opted for a physical attack. Charlie landed several blows, even managing to briefly stun the man with a firm elbow to his chin. But his opponent was made of solid stuff, and once again, Charlie found himself flung to the ground. He rolled frantically to the side, the large club denting the ground where his body had just been. Charlie swept at his legs, forcing the man to step back, giving him time to regain his feet. The club whistled through the air, barely missing him as he faked a move to the left, opting instead to duck and go right, landing a quick punch to the man's ribs before jumping clear of another massive swing. Once again, he used all of his defensive spells to stop the onslaught of attack spells. A few minutes passed, however, and Charlie was dazed for a second before his head cleared. Fortunately, he saw the man's shoulders and hips move even through blurry eyes. The thing was, the man's club was deadly, but it was also almost comically large, requiring more time and muscle to wield than the man realized. That gave Charlie an idea, and the fraction of a second he needed. "Yabsi Uzri Ho," he said plainly, relying on his intent rather than the power of his vocal cords to direct the conus's power. It was a combination of linked spells, and the first time he had ever attempted to do such a thing. In fact, he wasn't sure if it would even work. But the tandem effect of swarming flies in the eyes, combined with a throwing spell, took the off-balance man right off his feet. Charlie wasted no time, jumping atop him, pinning his slap hand with a knee, and aiming his palm at his face. "Submit, or I'll cast at point-blank range, right between the eyes," he commanded. The struggling man reluctantly relaxed and held up two fingers, the sign for surrender. The crowd applauded the combatants, then a casual murmur rose as they waited for the next bout. Sliding from the mount position, Charlie reached down and helped his opponent to his feet. "Thank you for a good contest," he said. "You fought well and honorably." The larger man was obviously upset at his defeat, but the gracious expression of sportsmanlike conduct by the victor sat well with him. "And you, little man, you possess surprising power for such a tiny adversary." Charlie couldn't help but laugh. "I guess I am pretty small compared to you. I mean, look at those muscles. I bet you worked hard to grow so strong." "Many, many years," the man said, then held out his hand in friendship. "I am Korban. It was an honor to fight you." He clasped the man's hand tightly, the crowd cheering the show of good sportsmanship, as the two walked out through the arena's tunnel, back to the gladiator preparation and holding area. "I am Charlie, and the honor was mine, my friend. I hope to see you again, but hopefully next time, not on the opposing end of the field of combat." He looked around the sea of burly men camped out. "Hey, I'm seriously thirsty. There's got to be something to drink around here. You want to get a drink?" "Follow me," Korban said. They proceeded to sit and share tales of their ordeals and training, bonding over a common lifestyle. Sir Barud watched from afar, a pleased smile touching the corners of his lips. You fought well, Barood said on the flight home, and I see you made a new friend in the process. Yeah. After he was through trying to bash my head in, it turns out Corban is actually a pretty nice guy.
I met Teacher Osman much the same way.
Oh? Yes, though ours was a fight to the death. Yet he lives. Indeed, he was on the losing end, but he fought so bravely that the Lord of the Regent halted the match and granted him a reprieve. That was the bout in which I received this scar, he said, lifting his tunic to show a jagged line across his flank. A deadly fighter, Osman. And despite nearly killing you, you are now friends and allies.
Yes, so it is. The way.
Which way? Of life. Things are not always as they seem, and only a fool assumes to know the difference at a glance. They talked at length the rest of the flight home, discussing life and the danger of death, but also the glory in facing it. I hope that one day you will be prepared enough to face that challenge and experience it for yourself, Barood said. Under his guidance, Charlie was feeling confident he might, indeed, become prepared, even if he had no desire to ever kill another man. In any case, he would train hard and make his teacher proud. And so he did for the next 2 years. And Sir Barood kept entering him in increasingly difficult tournaments as he improved. The strange human from a distant world who somehow, against the odds, kept winning bout after bout after bout.